So while we're talking about tithes and offerings, I want to tell you some of the things that, just little things in life that get me excited. This week, you know, there's so many things that I pray about that I don't see the immediate feedback that I sometimes want in life. You ever said one of those prayers, you know, God, I need this or that, or I'd like to see this or that, but it might take months, if not years, or maybe even your entire lifetime for something to happen. Well, last year we had Fernwood, where was our electric bills running? About 2,000 something a month here and 2,000 something a month in the gym. So $3,000-$4,000 a month in electric bills. Pretty high, right? So we, the trustees and the church, we installed a new thermostat system. It cost us $890 down in the gym. The idea was to try this year to maybe cut by 10 or 15% the heating costs that we have with the gym, because they were starting to just completely get out of control. And of course, we've made some changes in here. And I've been praying that God would, you know, help us with that, because we can't afford those types of things. Or in my mind, I don't think we can afford it anyway. I guess God can make a way for anything, right? Mm-hmm. So I needed something that I could say, here's an answer to prayer, right? Something that you can actually touch. So I opened the, you have to pardon me, I opened the electric bills because I've been very much watching them the last couple of months. This is our first full month of having the new heating and cooling thermostat in place. The electric bill we would have expected to be about $2,000 in the gym this month. The bill, anybody want to guess how much it was for a whole month?
$1,000?
Anybody else?
$1,500?
$800? All right. The bill was $642. The electric bill in here, again, normally $1,500 to $1,800. This time of year, it was only $614. So the two of them together are going to be less, plus $800 less, than what one of them would have been. God answers prayers.
Amen.
And I needed something that I could physically see, right? And He provided it. That's what today's lesson is really all about. Isaiah chapter 7 is the story of the reliance upon by the nation of Israel. The reliance of mature Christians, the reliance of a nation upon the faith that they have in God. The scripture reads in chapter 7 of Isaiah verses 1 through 9, Jotham the son of Uzziah, who was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah son of Ramallah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. And then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Shear-Jashub, and meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Abram, of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. And this is important. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. May God bless the reading of His Word. We all come to these services. We go to Sunday school. We read our Bibles. We have devotions. There's the Christian bookstores are filled with books I have a library full of books. There's a library down across the hall from my office that has all kinds of spiritual growth books. But the reality is all of those books are really worth nothing unless you have faith in God. How do you develop that faith in God? That spiritual growth. That desire or that ability to not run the other way as these folks were getting ready to do. They were shaken as the trees are shaken. You read that, right? In the Word. They were scared to death. That's another way to put it. They did not believe they had the ability, the wherewithal to be able to stop the invading armies. Not particularly after they had just reached an ally with the other important nation of the time. Because during the 60-year ministry of Isaiah, he served both he served God under both godly and ungodly rulers. One of the wicked rulers was Ahaz, who even sacrificed to the pagan gods of the surrounding nations. These were the kings of Israel. This was the king of God's people that was even worshiping pagan gods. But it was during the rule of Ahaz that one of the most powerful of Isaiah's great promise prophecies was uttered. That's what we just read. It was to this king who had turned away from the Lord and who is in this represents all humankind, represents you and me, that Isaiah was sent with a clear promise that one day God himself would take on human form later in the chapter, and one day a virgin would have a child, and he would be the Son of God. Against the background of Judah's sin, understanding how fallen they were, God still made a promise to them that if they would believe in him, that he would give them a bright and eternal hope. Ahaz was not a good guy. He, as it says, he didn't have much faith. He worshipped whatever it was that came along that helped him to obtain his own desires. Whatever it was that he was wanting at that moment, that's what he did. Anybody know anybody like that in your life, maybe, that's happened to? Maybe somebody that's still going through that today. But before the days of the battle came, God sent Isaiah with his infant son. The little boy was an infant, Shir Zasub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. That's verse 3. Now the reason for that was because Isaiah was supposed to go and review the political situation and warn Ahaz of the danger from Judah's neighbors. In other words, he was supposed to go see what the people were talking about, what it was that God was telling him that it was true with his own eyes. Remember last week we talked about that? You have 5 senses, right? The more of those senses that we utilize, the easier it is for us to believe it. So he wanted him to go see it and then tell King Ahaz about it. Warn him. God was still the Lord. Even though Judah's enemies were mere men, God promised it will not take place, it will not happen. Have you seen that in the scripture before? Has God ever promised us? He said what? That if we don't worship him, if we don't believe in him, will we get to heaven? He said that if you fail to acknowledge me with your mouth and with your deeds, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The only way to get to the kingdom of God is through him. He promised us that. God promised in verses 7 through 9, he promised him that this war, this taking over, would not happen. that these two enemies would not be able to overcome. That they would not be able to use in this crisis to be able to overrun and to defeat the Lord and His purpose. The first thing that we want to do if we're not a spiritually mature Christian is what? When we're tested. Give up. Run. Right? Stop. Whatever we have to do to stop the pain. I think about it in this way. If you put your hand on something hot, what is your normal reaction? Pull it back. If the dog is biting you, your reaction is what? Pull back. If you get, get rid of the dog, right? If you're walking into somebody's yard and a dog starts to come towards you, what's your reaction? What do you normally do? You start backing up, right? You go the other way. My point is that when we face adversity as human beings, even though that we are Christians, it's tough. The diagnosis is that you have cancer. The diagnosis is that you have some other illness. That you're going to have to deal with. That this is going to be something that could last forever for the rest of your life. What is the normal reaction? To give up. Right? Or at least find some way to make that suffering stop. Our first reaction, as Isaiah tells us in these verses, and what God tells him was to seek Him. Because God said that these two tribes, the most powerful, imagine if Mexico and Canada and every other country in the world were at the borders of the United States. And they were ready to come and to take over. They were ready to invade. And God sent a messenger to tell us that it wouldn't happen. As he said right here, it will not take place, it will not happen. And he said, because the head, the rest of these verses? For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only resin. Ephraim will too be shattered to be the head of Ephraim is Samaria, the head of Samaria. What is he saying? These people are only human beings. They cannot defeat me. I am God. It will not happen. Do you have faith in God that when He tells you something that you believe it? And we all say yes. I didn't see anybody say no. But the reality is that when you're privately in those private moments, and you actually do get the bad news about this or that, it's hard not to retreat, not to seek to stop the pain by serving God. It's hard. But God's command in verse 9, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Take a minute and let that sink in. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So does that mean that if I halfway, I think it's okay, but I'm still going to take some steps over here to try to protect and maybe hedge my bet a little bit. I'm going to try to do some of this on my own. Is that what God said? If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call for me when I read it a couple of weeks ago. If you don't stand in your faith, you will not stand at all. What does that mean to you in your life? Faith is ultimately belief in action. In other words, you can speak with your words everything you want, and you can tell people what they want to hear. You can come and sit in the pews here this morning and sing the songs and recite the verse and pray the prayer, but do you really act out what you just said and what we've been doing for the last 45 minutes? Only you know that. God knows it. But faith is ultimately belief in action. Proof is in the pudding, right? You heard that before? Never really understood that one. I mean, I could understand, you know, the proof is the cake rises or something. I mean, but the proof is in the pudding. I don't really understand that. But what happens? What is God's promise if we do stand firm in our faith? If we don't stand firm, what happens? We're going to fail, right? So, what's the opposite of that? If we do stand firm in our faith, what's going to happen? We will succeed. We will accomplish our goal. It's a challenge to depend on God's faithfulness alone. You can't, I mean, I've experienced it in my own life. You know, it is hard to do. When the enemy has surrounded you completely, when you know how strong the enemy is, when you have seen the enemy destroy, when you have seen the enemy destroy so many others, so many other nations, so many other people, so many other situations, you know what his power is. Your initial reaction as a human being is fear. I have known dozens of people who have died because of cancer. The story could end there, but it doesn't, because I also have known dozens of people who have been healed from cancer. But when that diagnosis comes to you, when that danger, that sickness, that situation faces you, it's hard to think of the positives because Satan has control. He's trying to take control. And we can either give him and not stand firm in our faith with God, or in which case we will not, what does the scripture tell us? We will not stand at all. Or we can choose to stand firm in our faith. And that's a hard thing to do. I think about it, and I think I shared this with you a couple weeks ago when we were looking at this and we started looking at experiencing God's faithfulness. Standing on the beach. The sand, as you're standing in the water, if you stood on the beach, you know that the sand, as the tide goes out, the sand under your feet actually literally is being pulled out from underneath of you. Right? Now, do you fall down every time that sand is pulled out from underneath of you? Or do you have to reposition your feet in order to stand up? Do you have to dig in a little bit deeper in order to stand up? That's what God's talking about in verse 9. Stand firm in your faith. Yes, Satan is going to attack us. We are going to have sickness. We are going to have situations that challenge us emotionally and physically, financially. But as those sins are being pulled out from underneath of you, you have to dig in. You have to come and learn more about the Word of God. Because what's going to make you stronger? Dig your feet in the sand. Read the scripture. Come and surround yourself with other believers. Bring your burdens to each other to share. These are all themes that you've heard all throughout your life as a Christian. And if you've been coming to church, if you've been fellowshipping with other believers, you've heard these things. These are not new. This is not something that Chris created. This is what all the apostles talked about. This is what's in 66 books of the Bible, is how God has given us the ability to surround ourselves and to strengthen ourselves by digging our feet into the sand so that we can have a more firm foundation. Because if you don't, if you just stand still, if you don't adjust your feet, if you don't do something, what is going to happen if you stand in that water and it keeps coming back at you? When those waves keep hitting you, eventually you will have enough sand pulled out from underneath of you that you will fall down. Your foundation is God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, your faith, where you gave your life to Him. And if you haven't given your life to Him, then you really have no idea what I'm even talking about. And in order for you to understand that, you need to surrender yourself to Christ. You need to start developing that faith. Because otherwise, you're just going to be tossed around with the water of life, with all of the adversities of life. You're just going to keep going back and forth. You're not going to have any stability. Every illness is going to be life-threatening. Every situation in your life is going to be earth-shattering. It's going to destroy your world. Now, I'm not telling you that it isn't difficult to stand when those waves are coming at you. That sometimes when the surf is really high, or there's tremendous pressure to pull you out to sea, for Satan to be able to just suck you away and take your life from you, there is plenty of opportunity for Satan to have that. But if you stand firm in your faith in God, you will be able to weather that storm. It will not happen. You will not lose your promise of eternal life. You will not lose the faith that you have with each other. That's what Isaiah is telling us. He's telling us the promise of the Messiah is going to happen. It's going to happen. The Messiah has already lived. He has died, He has rose again, and He is preparing a place for you and me. An opportunity for us to live through this life, however painful it may be, whatever circumstance we may have to face, if we will stand firm in our faith, we will stand forever with God. That sounds beautiful. That sounds beautiful. He promised us a life eternity with Him. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to sickness being gone. I'm looking forward to not having to worry about whether my health insurance is going to pay for this or that, or whether this medicine is affordable, whether I can get the right care from find the right doctor within a driving distance that I can actually go and get to that person to get the advice that I need in order to save my life. I'm looking forward to the fact that I don't have to worry about whether I have enough resources to buy food or heat, or whether we have the system in place that's going to make it affordable for us to be able to heat a gym so that kids can come and play basketball and twirl and do all these things in our rural community. I'm looking forward to a time that I don't have to worry about whether people are betraying me, or whether people are hurting me behind my back, or whether they're lying to me, or whether they're trying to deceive me into making some decision that I might regret later in my life. That's what heaven is going to be like. It's going to be a place that we don't have to worry about any of that, because God is going to be present. God is going to be present. You know what? just think of that. Just think of the power that you will have of being in His presence. The joy that we will know. The joy we've never experienced. I've had some happy times in my life. I've had some great times in my life. The joy that we're going to feel being in the presence of God is going to be immeasurable. We can't even imagine. As happy as you felt at that moment, whatever it may have been, whether it's the birth of your child, whether it's your wedding, whatever it may have been. When you went to Disneyland for the first time or Disney World, I don't know what it is in your life. Whether you shot the biggest, you know, bear that you could shoot, I don't know, whatever it may be. That joy is not going to measure up to the joy you're going to feel when you're in the presence of God. And the only way that you're going to be able to get there is to have faith and to stand firm in that faith as all the adversities of life grow up against you. And it's not an easy thing to do. That's why I need you. That's why you need us. That we need each other. Because it isn't easy. Because sometimes when you're standing there, and again, I'm thinking about the beach because I'm going to be there in just a little bit. But when you think about that, sometimes you have to grab a hold of somebody else, don't you? And they give you a little bit of support, help you get your feet planted back where they needed to be. And that's what you all are to each other. That's what we all are to each other. Hang on. Stand firm in your faith, because He is going to supply the strength that you need to go through whatever crisis it is that you may face in your life. And I have no illusions of believing that there's any of you that are sitting in this room today that aren't facing some kind of crisis in your life. Satan is good. He has all the power here on earth right now until God comes back. Not all the power, that's the wrong words, Pastor. You shouldn't say that, because that's not the truth. The truth is, Satan has power here on earth. Our God's power is beyond his. He has the ability to take it away at any moment. And when he comes back, Satan won't have that power to tempt you. He won't have the power to make you sick. He won't have the power to do any of those things. Just like God told Isaiah that these two powerful nations, who absolutely could have crushed Israel in their own power had God not stepped in. But he told them, this will not happen. God said that, and it didn't. Praise the Lord. That's the God that you and I serve. As we prepare to sing our invitation hymn, Cleanse Me. If you don't know him, don't leave this place without having a relationship with this God. Having this foundation that I'm talking to you about that you need in order to live. That you need to have any type of joy or happiness in your life that's going to be long-lasting. Because if you don't stand in your faith, the Scripture says you won't stand at all. And we see that also. We see people who have fallen away. Rulers, as in this case. We see all kinds of fallenness in our world. But our job is to help lift them back up. Cleanse Me, 657.